Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. That means Thursday for those of you that have forgotten because you're just stuck in a house staring at the same walls going, oh my God, what's happening? I don't know. What's happening is it's Weekend Eve. So, you know, for some of us that means something and for some it doesn't. I, as it turns out, you know, one job I can't go to anymore, but the other one, I am essential. So I'm half essential. So that I got that going for me. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 26th of March. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that always has a positive attitude anytime we start a show, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
There's going to be a lot of garbage today.
I don't think that was called for, sir. Hi, everybody. You know you can listen to me. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm delighted to see that you recognize genius when you're confronted by it.
I'm doubly glad that you saw it. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, sir?
The only time I'm not wearing pants while at work is when we record this. On 1885, the first commercial motion picture film is manufactured by the Eastman Dry Plate and Film Company in Rochester, New York. It is the first film produced in continuous strips on reels.
1895, Charles Francis Jenkins receives a patent for the Phantoscope, an early motion picture projector that enlarges film images for group exhibitions. Otherwise, you had to look at it on that very tiny 2-inch screen.
Oh, with a name like that, I thought it was something from 13 Ghosts.
I was hoping.
1923, the BBC introduces a daily weather forecast.
Before that, they were like, put your head out the window. 1954, the United States detonates the second hydrogen bomb in 4 weeks on Bikini Island in the Marshall Islands. The 15-megaton bomb is 750 times more powerful than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. The blast contaminates neighboring islands of Rongelap and exposes almost 100 people on the island and other downwind atolls to radiation. Because we simply didn't care.
1958, the United States Army launches Explorer 3 satellite, America's third successful satellite. Of course, behind Explorer 1 and Explorer 4.
1969, the Soviet weather satellite Meteor 1 is launched. Oh no, a meteor crashed.
1976, the first annual World Altair Computer Convention is held at the Airport Marina Hotel near Albuquerque, New Mexico. It took place over 3 days and is the first such convention for the microcomputer industry.
1980, the European Space Agency, ESA, creates the French company Arianespace, the world's first commercial space transportation company, which has been taking people to Mars for eons now.
1981, the French newspaper Le Parisien Libraire, one of the largest and most influential in France, publishes its first online edition in Teletel Video Text Network.
1987, NASA launches the FlitSatCom 6 communications satellite for the U.S. Navy, but fails to reach orbit when lightning strikes and destroys the rocket, which is another way of going, God said no.
1989, the science fiction television series Quantum Leap premieres with the episode Genesis on the NBC Network.
Oh boy. 1994, a photo of the first moon discovered in orbit around an asteroid is released. The potato-shaped asteroid Ida and its newly discovered moon Dactyl were imaged by the NASA Galileo spacecraft.
1997, 21 women and 18 men are found dead in a mass suicide in a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California, which had been rented by a cult that operates a team of programmers who earn money designing websites, including one called Higher Source. The HeavensGate.com site, produced by the team, described the recent passing of the Hale-Bopp comet as a sign that aliens were approaching the Earth in the intention of taking those prepared to leave their bodies with them. This story was sponsored by Nike.
And that cult leader was a creepy-looking guy. Ugh. Hail, bop, bop. 2002, Ballantine Books releases the fantasy novel A Caress of Twilight by Laurel K. Hamilton, the second novel in the Mary Gentry series.
2005, the BBC relaunches the long-running science fiction television series Doctor Who with the episode Rose after a 15-year, three-month hiatus.
They're saying this new thing is going to be a prequel to that. I'm hoping for Eccleston. 2009, U.S. billionaire Charles Simonyi, age 60, becomes the first tourist to travel into space twice when he departs aboard the Soyuz TMA-14 spacecraft from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan on a mission to dock with the International Space Station 2 days later. There's a lot of words there I kind of had a hold on. Birthdays?
Keira Knightley is 35. From the Star Wars prequels, Closer, V for Vendetta, Black Swan, and Leon the Professional.
Leslie Mann is 48 from Cable Guy, 40-year-old virgin, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and Vacation. Not National Lampoon's Vacation. Totally different animal.
Michael Imperioli, 54, from Goodfellas, Jacob's Ladder, Bad Boys, Sopranos, Summer of Sam, Old Boy, and Alex, Inc.
Jennifer Grey is 60 from Red Dawn, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Dirty Dancing, Phineas and Ferb, Red Oaks.
Martin Short, 70. Like, he's a comedic genius if you don't know who he is. From SCTV, SNL, The Three Amigos, Mars Attacks, Spiderwick Chronicles, Bumblebee, and even pops up on TV shows randomly and does a kick-ass job.
Ernest Lee Thomas is 71 years of age from What's Happening,
What's Happening Now, Everybody Hates Chris, and of course, Mega Shark versus Colossus.
And at 71 years old, we've got Vicki Lawrence from The Carol Burnett Show, Mama's Family, The Cool Kids, another comedic legend.
James Caan is 80 from Godfather, Rollerball, Alien Nation, Dick Tracy, and Misery.
Alan Arkin, 86. Inspector Clouseau, Catch-22, The 7% Solution, Edward Scissorhands, The Rocketeer, Gattaca, Argo, Gross Point Blank, that goes on and on and on.
He's probably putting together a Knish right now.
I'm sure he is. Something like that.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1773, Nathaniel Baldwich, founder of modern maritime navigation. His book, The New American Practical Navigator, first published in 1802, is still carried on board every commissioned U.S. naval vessel.
1916, Sterling Hayden, General Jack D. Ripper, in Dr. Strangelove and The Godfather.
1919, Strother Martin from The Shaggy Dog, Cool Hand Luke, and Up in Smoke.
And 1931, Leonard Nimoy from Zombies of the Stratosphere, Them, Star Trek, of course, Mission Impossible, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Atlantis, The Lost Empire, that song that people troll you with.
They'd have to. Anything else simply would not be logical.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of Young Sheldon, then a new Young Sheldon, Mom, The Neighborhood, and FBI Most Wanted.
ABC, it's a new Station 19. Station 19, Grey's Anatomy, and a million little things.
NBC has a new Superstore, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Indebted, and a new Elenos Vu.
Over on Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing, Outmatched, Charlie. A leak in the apartment's noticed when several informants are found dead across the city on a new deputy. Which means Charlie's on that show, or Charlie Sheen has a new show and I'm just blanking.
CW, Katie must deal with Xandra as she seeks a significant apprenticeship. Josie films a new music video without Alexander's knowledge.
What?
And a new Katie Keene and new legacies.
He ain't gonna stand for that. Freeform, Sutton is faced with a difficult decision on her and Richard's wedding day on a new The Bold Type.
AMC has Gone in 60 Seconds.
Bravo with a new Top Chef.
Well, FX has Sam Takes Duke to Ballet and Frankie to Pinkberry on a new Better Things.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon. You've got The Parent Rap and, of course, The Great Louse Detective.
FXM, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Okay, IFC is showing AVP, Alien vs. Predator, followed by Predators, followed by Predator. Can someone please teach them continuity?
Yeah, because that's very important in that entire franchise. BBC America has Gladiator.
Sci-Fi Channel is showing John Wick Chapter 2, which again, it's just a program in the Matrix, so it's sci-fi.
CBS fighting back the tears on a new Hot Ones, the game show.
USA, Jamie sets out to get vengeance, which puts him on a collision course with Ambrose on a new episode of The Sinner, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. After suffering from a tragic miscarriage, a distraught woman pretends to be a nurse to steal a newborn from a Florida hospital and raise the kid as her own. The stolen girl does not realize she was stolen at birth until she applies for a job. Niecy Nash and Raven Simone Farrell star in Stolen by My Mother, the Kamiya Mobley story.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. While investigating an alleged suicide during an upscale yacht party with Detective Stefan, Detective Chad runs into Thomas's former babysitter, Gabby. Later in a case where Chad is investigating with Abe, Gabby appears again, this time as a suspect. Dr. Marlena and Dr. Rex try to help him make sense of his run-ins with these two very different versions of the same woman. Abe believes Chad's behavior is justified, though he is concerned with these legends of two different worlds. He knows that the crossing of these two mindsets will be difficult to deal with. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Once again, it's time for Bag Old Mail.
Indeed it is. Never did see it, sadly, but my friends would not stop talking about life on Mars. Now that Chabby are there, I probably still won't get a chance to see it. That's from the encaffeinated one. And, well, you can see it, but you won't find Chad and Abby there. At least not this week. Sorry. But again, I know why you did that. We also have this.
Hey, crew, it's Brunson from Australia.
Brunson.
And this week, Chad and Abby are on, which I watched when it went to air. Fantastic. Well, it was a solid show. Fantastic pilot. Really hoping I got one. Have a good one. Love the show.
Well, thank you very much. And you're absolutely right. As you could tell by the aforementioned beep that I hadn't mentioned yet, but you knew it was coming because someone always gets this right. Like this guy, our Chabby on, which aired in the spring of 2012. There's a clue, folks. It caught my attention because it was very similar to Ted Decker's book series, The Circle Trilogy, which eventually had four books, Black, Red, White, then Green. Thanks. That's from Paul. Well, Paul, absolutely. So you are also in the running. Quite a few people are doing well. I thought last week we had a new record breaker with everyone knowing MathNet, which kind of blew my mind. But folks are really getting this one, except for the folks that aren't. But that's all right. You can try again. Just drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, send us a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD.
And congratulations to Bronze Thumb for knowing a show that wasn't Australian to begin with.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics. Featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hi, this is Jeff Combs, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Again, more daily than The Daily Show, even more daily than The Daily Social Distancing Show. Both of those are fine programs.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Because that's all we can do anymore, is just all kinds of fragging. What are we going to frag testify in today, sir?
Well, we've got Under Night in Birth, EXE, colon late, bracket, CL-R, end bracket.
Must be anime based on title alone.
Third update to Under Night in Birth with numerous character mechanical tweaks and introducing a new playable character, Londrikia. Available for the PC and PS4.
I've waited so long. Down the rabbit hole, a VR adventure set in a prequel world of Alice in Wonderland for the Oculus Quest.
That seems like something you should not take drugs on.
No, you shouldn't.
One Piece Pirate Warriors 4. One Piece returns to the Musou series in 2020. I wonder if Parker Lewis is going to be playing it. It's available for the Switch, PC, and PS4. Oh, and the Xbox One.
Persona 5 Royal, an enhanced version of Persona 5 that includes an expanded story, new gameplay mechanics, and a new Phantom Thief for the PlayStation 4.
This steals phantoms? Isn't that an exorcist? Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. It's a 3D platformer made by Chrome Studios. In it, Ty travels around the Australian outback in search of 5 mystical talismans that will not only save his family from the dream world, but his entire species from the wrath of Boss Cass. I guess you got a promotion from me and just Mama. It's available now for the Switch.
Soul Asylum, because that's with a Z, challenge other players by escaping from an old village, no doubt on a runaway train, never coming back. Is the train on a one-way track? Play to find out on the PC. I feel like I'm on the wrong way on a runaway track.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, The Mandalorian Season 2 is adding Aliens star Michael Bane. But little is known about Bane's role in the upcoming season, but, you know, some veteran actor playing a bounty hunter from Mando's past. That could be cool. I mean, it could be many things. One possibility is that Michael Bane's character was part of the Mandalorian's old gang, like the rogue Twilights and the Kin from the first season. His potential role in the series does not mean that the show will continue to dive into Din Djarin's criminal past, sadly.
But I kind of hope he's playing Dengar.
That'd be cool. We, of course, know that Rosario Dawson will be playing Ahsoka in her first live-action appearance.
Wait. What if he is an older Anakin clone?
Oh my god. There are many questions to be answered by all this news. I mean, we know Ahsoka lends the show to revisiting Clone Wars plots, or at very least might indicate the show will delve deeper into Jedi lore than the first season, in which the ancient Order of Force users were nowhere to be found.
Maybe he used to date Yaddle.
Season 2 will also likely dive deeper into the state of the Empire after its defeat at the Battle of Jakku. Giancarlo Esposito's Moff Gideon is one of the last vestiges of the old government, and we know that he survived his fight against Mando in Season 1.
Look, and that actor's so awesome, but I don't even care about that. I just want to know where in the hell he got a darksaber.
Right? The Mandalorian Season 2 is due out in October. Remains to be seen how the whole coronavirus is going to delay it. Filming has been completed. There's still the matter of post-production. We'll keep you updated. This is the way.
This is the way. The Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey will unleash Bruce next summer, a musical inspired by the well-documented filming of Jaws based on Carl Gottlieb's 1975 book, The Jaws Log.
Will no one ever make National Lampoon's Jaws 3 People Zero?
Donna Fiore directs and choreographs Bruce, and the co-production with Seattle Rep will close out Paper Mill's 82nd season with its world premiere June 9th through July 4th, 2021.
Really? So the world will be better by then?
It's more likely to be better then than on Easter.
True.
Chronicling the making of an iconic movie, Bruce tells the story of then-unknown director Steven Spielberg, beleaguered film set, and the challenges that thwarted his team at every turn, including, of course, the film's star, an uncooperative, diva-ish mechanical shark named Bruce. At its heart, the show proves that when we are faced with hardship and work together as a team, great things can happen.
When our powers combine.
And yes, a musical based on making a movie sounds a little odd. But that means we get a song about wooing investors, one where Spielberg and Benchley argue about the ending, and the haunting ballad, "The Shark's Not Working." The shark, the shark, the shark, the shark, the shark, the shark, not working, not working, the shark, the shark.
After a successful first virtual NASCAR race over the weekend, where a mix of current and former drivers raced each other online and a lot of people watched, Fox and NASCAR have decided that they're going to broadcast a whole season of it on TV.
All sports are esports now.
The first eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series event held on Sunday was like the Formula One move to video game competition for drivers and fans to get some kind of racing fix in these weird and challenging times. In first place then was a three-time Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin. Nearly 1 million people watched it on Fox, so now a whole season called Fox NASCAR iRacing is going to take place.
Champions face the ultimate race, one with right turns only.
Drivers taking part are coming back from caps lock warning for the story. NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, NASCAR Gardner RV, and Outdoors Truck Series, along with a group of NASCAR dignitaries like the recently retired Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Bobby Labonte.
Care me when they get Ricky Bibby.
The races will be commented by NASCAR's actual booth team of Jeff Gordon, Mike Joy, and Larry McReynolds, and each race is going to stick to NASCAR's tradition, like a prayer and national anthem is going to happen. In the absence of an actual licensed NASCAR game for everyone to play, the action is being run via the online PC game iRacing.
In fact, you can watch them shake and bake while you make shake and bake.
Now look, when they want to race for real, let me know, because I'll take all you bitches out in Mario Kart.
In an effort to reduce strain on internet networks, YouTube has announced that it will temporarily serve video in lower quality standard definition or SD format across the globe.
There would be even less strain if they got rid of the ads for a bit.
YouTube users can override the setting and still watch content in HD formats if available, but have to deliberately make the switch for each video, as SD will now be the default.
And normally people are too lazy to change things, but the need for HD cat videos will be strong.
Google announced the move in an update Tuesday morning and follows on from events last week when YouTube switched to streaming all videos in SD in the European Union. That switch is now worldwide.
And unboxing videos are just not the same.
Streaming video services Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus, and Apple have all moved to reduce bandwidth utilization in the EU, but YouTube is the only one so far to make its video throttling a worldwide thing.
You know, they even tried to blame this on gaming.
Which is true. The good news is, if you have a cell phone or a flip phone, you're already used to this.
And in a bit of sad news, cult filmmaker Stuart Gordon has passed away at the age of 72. Cause of death has not yet been announced. Probably a hell beast, though. Gordon is best known for his work in indie horror, helming such features as the H.P. Lovecraft adaptations Reanimator, From Beyond, and Dagon, along with the Christopher Lambert-led Fortress. He also penned the family classic Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and founded the Organic Theater Company with his wife, Carolyn Pretty Gordon. Gordon also directed and co-wrote the book for the Reanimator musical, which, hey, Charming Underclothes, there's something you should do. Gordon is survived by his wife, daughter Susanna, Jillian, and Margaret Gordon, four grandchildren, and his brother David George Gordon, and all the VHS tapes that we still have, because I know they're available on DVD and Blu-ray, but nah, that's not quite the same, and we'll watch that, and I'll watch The Walls, because it's H.P. Lovecraft, and weird things are going to come through that. GRD is licensed on the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. It's not only a good thing to do, it's good for you. We have the Wilford Brimley seal of approval. Absolutely. RRR. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or send anything you'd like by voice, because we'd love to hear those melodious tones. Just dial the number of
510-GRD.
And we will see you when we see you.
Live long and prosper.
I think I'm out of witty banter.
funny. I detect no source of amusement.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Oh, my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
Looper, that's me.
Hang up on the rail, use all the speed of the track, come down, and drop kick a biker. Say, excuse me, you're not paying a whole lot of attention, are you? Hey, what's this dude's name?
That's our new speedball from Manila.
Yeah, you know, that's Tuffy. Come on up, Tuff. Always a big honker. Say, why don't you do me and the boys a favor? I mean, since you know everything there is to know, we'd sure appreciate it. Why don't you give us a little demonstration, show us how you made that big rep down there. You skate around and just take me out, huh?
Go get him, Tuffy.
Now, eyes. Use them. Don't lock your eyes in any one spot. This game isn't all in the muscle. Use your head. Lock your eyes on the target and keep...
Ears. Now, they're real important, too.